the sun and get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worship. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you doing on this fine Friday?
I am ready for the magic.
You are.
Absolutely.
Your computer did not work well with my interwebs.
Yes.
So you are interestingly sitting there with hands closed, waiting like a young, polite student.
Yes.
For class.
Exactly.
Lots to talk about. What I would like to do first, if you don't mind, because you said you have tales of Uber.
I do.
I would like to talk about tales of Uber.
Okay.
Because I feel, I don't know how what I came in to talk about that happened to me. We missed a week.
Yes.
For anybody who is fresh on the podcast, Daddy's guts were no bueno. And I woke up on Wednesday to go to work. And I wouldn't say never, but I very rarely have this happen where I get up in the morning, even though I get up at, I don't know if I've mentioned it, I get up really early, 2:30 in the morning. Anyway, whatever. And where I get up, and I usually kind of drag a little bit, but once I hit the shower, I'm alive and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
This day, took a shower and wanted to lay down on the couch.
I thought you were going to stand on the tiles.
No. Just wanted to. And I lay there for 10 minutes. Natalie, the dog, had to go to the bathroom, so Natalie got up to let the dog out, and so she goes outside.
Who let the dog out?
Natalie did. Who? And so she's sitting there. She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I just want to lay here." And then it just got progressively worse.
Oh,
you know
no.
how you feel like you should
that
wake up?
That was the high point.
Yes. Yes. I went to work, and I told the people that I work with, I said, "I am very tired, and my ass is dragging." And they go, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah. Here's how bad it is. The floor there is horrible at where I work."
Yeah.
I said, "There is nothing that sounds more appealing to me right now than to lay right there in front of the mini fridge that we have and just lay down."
Yes.
And I would go to sleep right there.
Oh, my God.
So then I came home, took an hour and 45-minute nap.
Maybe with your head in the crisper bin or something.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know why I wanted to lay in front of the fridge. I didn't feel hot or anything. But anyway, I took an hour and 45-minute nap, woke up, did not feel more rested.
Mm.
Felt then the queasiness and the nausea started.
Yeah.
And it went downhill from there. 2 days. It literally took me 2 days. This is Wednesday afternoon. I called in. I go, "You know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to make it in tomorrow." And then I called in sick on Friday. By Friday midday, I felt okay.
Wow,
and then you got to deal with the whole recovery and blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
and you're so far behind on your life by then.
Oh, my gosh. So much to get caught up on. So you have Uber tales. What happened in your Uber?
Well,
for anybody who's new to the show,
sure.
Paco drives for Uber. That's your gig.
That is my new part-time job.
Yes.
I'm following in the footsteps of the master. I thought I'd better get a part-time job.
That's me. I'm the master.
Yes, you are the master. For those of you who are new,
you'll pick it up real quick.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I had bronchitis for quite a while, and I thought that it was smarter not to be driving people around when a coughing fit could put us into an abutment at any moment. So,
yeah, because when you cough hard, you pass out.
Yeah, or it wasn't quite that bad, but these were. But you don't want to get in a car where your driver is clearly about to.
Yeah. Where can I take you?
Yeah.
To a taxi, please. Anything is better than this.
Anywhere else. Yeah. So I had laid off for quite a while, so I was a little rusty. Anyway. I had a couple different days, but one ride that I thought would be of interest to the listeners was that just in downtown Burbank there, just up the hill a little bit, I picked up a young lady named Charlotte, and very quickly my ear was able to determine that she was from the UK.
Oh.
She's pretty.
Across the pond.
She was probably in her mid-20s, something like that. And I said, "I love your accent." Anyway, the ride was just me mercilessly.
Was that your opening
line?
That
was my opening line. After we got things going a little bit.
What do you mean, got things going a little bit?
Yeah, once she disrobed. No. As I was.
Got to get a job as an Uber driver. This is not what I thought it was.
Did you hear? I can't remember where. In New York, they're passing all kinds of rules about the behavior of taxi drivers and what they can and can't do, and apparently they need to specify that you're not allowed to touch the passengers.
Maybe it's you that's causing this
or
legislation?
Have them touch you. No, this is far away. I think that it might have something to do with Ladies of the Night. You're driving around in a car, you pick them up. But in any case,
that's interesting. Yeah, what if you're a full-service Uber driver? Does that make you a prostitute?
I'm a full-service Uber driver.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Especially when you got a 20-something-year-old Brit in there.
Yeah.
Governor? Bob your knob, governor?
That's what I said to her. So anyway.
The rain in Spain flows mainly on the plane.
Right. Flows mainly from my junk.
Main vein.
Oh my God! Thank you. So anyway, she was cute and sweet, and she had spent the morning. She had an audition that morning, and she had spent the hours prior to that audition up with her dialect coach because she had to sound like an American. So I asked her to lay some of her American on me, which was pretty good. And I said, whereabouts are you from? And she said, Liverpool. And I said, I was going to say north, that it was a northern accent, but I don't hear. I said, well, you know, we're stupid Americans. All we think of is the Beatles for Liverpool. And she said, well, you got me. I'm actually from just outside of Liverpool. And I said, I think I was getting a sense of that you weren't.
You were not.
Complete bullshit. But
oh, okay, good.
Absolutely.
I was going to have to not be friends with you anymore right. If you were going to be that guy. You sure you're not a northern county of Liverpool? Because right. I'm getting a little bit of Scottish dropping in
are
there.
Are you from Bank Street or are you just the three blocks north of Bank?
I would hate you.
So I don't know that there's a Bank Street. I'm guessing there's probably a Bank Street
for
just about everywhere.
I'm pretty sure we understand.
I was in the moment. I was just sort of yes anding. So anyway.
This poor thing's got a big audition.
So I tried out some of my
fucking improv with the Uber driver.
I tried out some of my accent on her, but she was just about as unimpressed as the listeners are.
You did Michael Caine nice. For her?
I said everyone says it sounds like Michael Caine, and her conclusion was that it did not sound like Michael Caine, but her delivery was that it didn't sound like much of anything. So maybe I was off my game. I said, let me tell you about Amazon, I said. I got to get into the thing.
Yeah, that's my mnemonic. It's click-through banners.
Anyway, she didn't seem to mind at all when the mapping system was taking me nowhere towards where she and I needed to go and all of my wrong turns. I make so many wrong turns. I can't believe I still got like nearly a 5 rating.
When you say wrong turns, is it just a lot of like recalculating because you're too busy being a scene partner?
I was
for the people that you're driving?
No. I was following the instructions precisely. But then it had me, it's so hard to explain if they're not from around here, but she wanted to be dropped off on Highland, like one block north of the Kodak.
For a point of reference, yeah. Highland is where the Oscars are and where they used to do a lot of the American Idol big like shows there. I think they actually did the finale at the Dolby Theater right
it's
there.
It's madness at that area. And it gave
Chinese
me
Chinese theater where all the handprints are. That's all in Hollywood.
Yeah, a little further down. There's that big church.
Jimmy Kimmel.
She wanted to be behind it. And it brought me up on a little local street that had a stop sign, but there was no light. So I was supposed to cut across 6 lanes of traffic on what is essentially a street freeway with no light at all. It's just like, this isn't going to happen. So anyway, she was very nice about that, and I think I actually when I bid her adieu when I said ta-ra to her. Which
what is ta-ra?
Like, it's like ta-ta, but it's like more colloquial. Get Christopher, what's his face? Our British listener, he can probably say if ta-ra was the right thing to say, but she appreciated that, and I said I'd be looking for her on Five and Unders, which is a reference to the fact that she's not going to get any work.
I want you to be known as the referential Uber driver. That's all you do.
I'm sure I already am. But she seemed quite you know what I like charmed too? When she got out or I'm happy not, to be leaving.
You're very delightful.
Thank
so
you.
So don't get me wrong in this. But I like the idea that I just realized in hearing that story that you are the guy that whenever, no matter what, like as a comedian, a lot of comics have fake jobs that they say that they do when somebody on a plane that's sitting next to them.
Yes.
So, but you are the guy who is like the master of jujitsu in that area, like, or Aikido, where you use it against us. You use our own lie to be like, oh, you're from Liverpool. Oh, well, the Beatles, the haberdashery, and ta-rah, you know, like. And then some other guy comes in and he's like, oh, I'm a biochemist. And oh, really? Photosynthesis. I understand copper is quite a thing now. And blah, 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 blah.
What is your fake on-the-road job?
I never had a fake job. I would just say I don't work.
That's great.
No, I would say I'm a comedian. Mm-hmm. Because here's why I would say it. Is because nobody wants to. Every time you say I'm a comedian, they say something funny.
Right.
And I already had a funny thing that I would say where I would say I'm a comedian. They go, oh, well, say something funny. I said, I never said I was a good one. Okay. And then what I love is that then they would laugh. And then some of them, though, would then laugh and then go, no, but seriously. I go, I would look at them and I go, I just did.
Right.
You remember when you chuckled earlier?
Right, right. See, I would assume that you're telling them you're a comedian would sort of be a self-defense thing, because anyone who had to sit next to you on a plane would come to the assumption that you have to be a comedian or something because of everything that comes out of your mouth.
I'm not as boisterous with strangers. Yes, I am, but not in a what's the word I'm trying to think of? Entrapped situation. You know what I mean? If they don't have a way to leave,
I'd love to see you get up and work the room like a Catskill comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do
Just
you do
go
for
aisle
a living
aisle.
Now? Hey, honey, where you from?
It's so funny with my new job, because we recently had this big corporate meeting and that they had, everybody had to be there. It's this mandatory thing. And so we're sitting in the big iHeart Theater, which is where they used to tape the Tonight Show. And so we're sitting there, and this one guy who's the head of engineering comes out, and then people were kind of, I guess, talking or something, going, woo, go get him. You know, and he's like, hey, come on, hecklers. And he starts doing a lot of the stereotypical lines, like, nice haircut. And everybody's laughing, and nice shirt. And then the people who work with me are looking at me, like, pointing at me, like, like he's doing your stuff. I'm like,
No,
he's not. He's doing what a guy who's auditioning to be a comedian would do. You could not, or a guy who's making fun of a comedian, and that's not what he's doing. And what I hated was also that he was killing. Like, everybody's like,
I think I remember the story.
And then because he's an engineer saying quasi-funny things, the girl sitting next to me who does sports on the morning show with us, she goes, he's really funny.
Right.
No, he's not.
Right.
He's not. He's a nerd who never has to be funny.
The bar gets lowered and he can easily hop over it.
It's like a hot blonde chick saying anti-disestablishmentarianism. You're like, wow, she's smart. Like,
and it's the same thing as someone turning to you when they hear your comedian say something funny, is that the bar has been set and now they're challenging you.
Right.
Whereas he doesn't get a challenge. They're just happy that he isn't horrible.
Dry and horrible. Yeah, exactly.
Well, there was another piece of another day where I got into a scenario which I thought you would find
sorry.
mockable.
Evidently I did some kind of audio fart.
Yes.
My bad. Go ahead.
If I'm interrupting what you're doing, please let me know.
No, it's fine. I'm sure it's good.
And okay, so
just gotta go ahead. I just gotta get this right.
All right, you set that up.
Okay.
So I had an affair, and he was not an affair, but I had an affair and was taking him to.
I'm sorry, it's not funny anymore.
Oh my God. I was taking him to the train station downtown, which is not an easy thing to do. And he was a young guy, and he started telling me as we got closer, he was sitting in the front seat. He'd totaled his truck. He's from San Diego. I'm taking him to the train station, and he's telling me about his life. And the more he tells me, the more interest that I get, and the harder it is to follow the little blue line on the map. So I made like four concentric circles around.
I
know. I shouldn't be the Uber reference driver. I should be the lost Uber driver. So
no, nobody else driving Uber is this interested in their passengers.
That's true. This guy studied journalism, was disillusioned. He can be all of 24, probably 25. Disillusioned, left it. Did a little sports writing, fell into a thing with his roommate who was had a computer guy, and so this fair of mine essentially created a bot for a fantasy sports that performs markedly above what other systems do, and so he basically sells fantasy sports advice. With this thing, he pulls in $500,000 a year, and was offered. ESPN wanted to buy it off of him.
Wow!
And he said no. And so anyway, so he was interesting, but then I end up in a part of the city I really don't know where I am, and I'm not quite even sure how to get back to Burbank. So I punch in my home address on my home on the built-in car navigation, while leaving
Uber up.
But thinking I should probably just shut Uber off until I know where I am. So while I'm in the process of doing all this while driving, I get a fare, and it's really close. So I go, okay, I'll take that. And I took it and drove over there. And to shorten this a little bit, I can't figure out how to turn off the car GPS, okay?
I
can't turn it down.
Money?
I can't turn it down. I can't turn it off. So I follow the little Uber instructions and I get a text while I'm on the way that says the first gate. I don't know what that means, but I think, oh, when I get there, it'll make some kind of sense. But it gives you like the little blue line and it takes you to like a little stick figure of a person. Like, and then once you get within 25 feet of the stick figure, it says you've arrived and it switches into another mode and it says we've notified your ride that you've arrived. And I see a gate, and so I pull into the gate. It's a pot dispensary parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not a person there named Gia or any person at all. There's a couple of cars, and there's some very happy-looking men coming in and out and driving off with their purchases in their little brown bags. And I ask the security guard, does somebody call for Uber? And he doesn't know what it is. So finally I get her back on the line, and we realize that she's somehow on the other side of a building that I'm it directed me to the back of the building for some reason. I go over and get her and her companion. And they are going 8 minutes, 10 minutes, almost a straight line. And as they get in, I say, listen, I got to warn you right now that my car GPS is going, and she's going to be giving instructions.
You don't know how to turn it off?
I turned off the car. And put it back on again. She's still talking about
getting me home. There's got to be an end button or no or stop.
I went into the manual. Before I got there, I pulled out the manual. Couldn't find it there. I went on Google. I couldn't find it there. I saw a lot of people going, why the F isn't this something you can just turn off? And all the instructions in the manual just tell you how to turn it on, but none of them tell you how to turn it off.
Here's the way to turn it off. Get to where it's telling you to go.
Yes, exactly.
Then you can turn it
which
off.
Which is 30 minutes away.
That's
so
awesome.
So I now
you have managed to make Uber less comfortable than a taxi.
Right. Well, so there's the two women get in. And
you can't turn the stereo down and it stops.
No, it doesn't matter.
Noise?
I can turn the stereo off and it keeps talking. It is completely independent from the stereo. I suppose I could have plugged something into the auxiliary out jack or something. I don't know if there even is one, but I may have been able to trick around it somehow. But in any case, we're driving 8 to 10 minutes up the road. And
every intersection,
every 100 yards or so,
recalculating.
Yeah, right.
Turn around. Right. Recalculating. So, turn left.
So I explained to them, you're going to have to ignore this voice. I'm ignoring the voice. I'm just looking on the blue line. Your address is your destination, so we all know that we're
like,
it's the same thing.
I'm ignoring the voice.
Well, so they know it's not an issue. But one of them was super understanding of it. She's, oh, you just have a chatty car. Or she's having a bad day or whatever it is. So she's fun and playing along with it. And the other one, every time my car speaks a direction, goes, no, don't do that. It's like, don't get on the freeway. And I'm like, no, we're not getting on the freeway. We're ignoring the voice.
So, oh, gosh, it's crazy.
There was about a 10-minute ride where this one was just panicking over and over with every step.
That's awesome.
Despite my reinsurances and despite the fact that her partner, her ride partner, completely got it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought you would have laughed.
No, that is good. I like
if anything,
everything about it.
I should do this on purpose and throw a camera in. No, throw a camera in.
No, because if you do it on purpose, it won't be as good. I promise.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to try. Right. Trust me. Right. You're doing great already.
I know, but just I'd like to be able to bring something here so you can actually hear it unfold.
Always be rolling.
There you go.
Oh, that's
so
good
stuff. That's basically the Uber deal.
Here's what happened to me, and it's going to sound like a very sad setup. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
But just bear with me because I think it is very, very funny. Here's the setup. Rocky died on Easter. So here's what happened. Friday night, he woke up and evidently crapped all over the house.
Oh, my God.
And he had been doing this intermittently, where it's like you come home, and if he'd been in the house where normally I think it wasn't even – or sometimes he would be outside, and you would let him in. And as soon as he got in, he would be so excited, never to see me.
Yeah.
But always – yeah, understandable. Always to see Natalie. Everybody's always excited to see Natalie, and he would poop everywhere.
Yeah. That's my typical reaction to seeing Natalie.
Yeah. And then he would immediately – it's funny because he'd come in and go, and then poop, and they go, I got to go outside. And he'd go back outside. God rest his soul. And he – so anyway, he – and Natalie was like, why does he keep doing – this is what I love about being my wife.
Yeah.
She has – oh, God. No concept. No concept of anything. She's a very caring woman. She's a good mom. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But beyond that little world that she lives in, It's very nice to be her because she doesn't have to think beyond that, really.
Yes.
That's my job. I'm the one who has to, you know, kind of oversee everything. And she just lives like a rat in a maze that I'm experimenting on, trying right. to get to have sex with me more often. And so anyway, she's like, why does he keep doing that? I said, because he's 13 years old and that's fucking ancient for a dog.
Yeah.
And then I love this math, too. Like, everybody knows dog years are seven times.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. And then she knows it. But then she goes, well, he's not that old. I go, 91. Is that a number? How do you think? Do you think you could shit when you want to shit at 91?
Right. Because
I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. Not if
every time the doorbell rings at 91, she's
yes.
going to.
Well, let's be honest. She's had a couple kids. If she sneezes, she pees. Yeah. How much is she expecting to have control?
I pee if I sneeze.
Right. We all are peeing when we sneeze. We're old and decrepit and dying quickly.
I'm lucky if I just pee when I sneeze, as a matter of fact.
So she wakes up and he had pooped. I slept through this whole thing. But randomly, at like 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear the like noise. Wow. And I leap up. And I run because he's had this happen before where he had a spell of vomiting and then he grew out of it, or we changed his food. I can't remember. But anyway.
Yeah.
So then he goes out and now he does kind of the like movie dog, Old Yeller almost. But Old Yeller had rabies and I get shot. But so sorry for my bad example. But he's at the back end of the backyard next to the back nine a guest house, a palatial estate.
Yeah.
And he just wants to sit out there and he lays down.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't, it's not like he's laying like, he's not laying in a way where you think he's going to die. Like, he's not on his back, all four legs straight up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's doing his usual spread eagle.
I did not think that's how he was going to die. But
I did.
Okay.
Right. So he's just kind of hanging there and he goes, he's kind of looking at me and I kind of see him and I go, hey, come on, bud. And he just kind of, he gives me the hound dog look of, he always has sad eyes when he's looking up at you.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you. And he ain't moving. Oh, this is where I am.
Yeah.
But not like dying. And I was like, all right. And he's wanted to do that before. He wants to get outside in the middle of the night. And then he just wants to, even though it's kind of chilly out, he doesn't care. He just wants to lay there. So I'm like, fuck it, go. And then the worst part about it is you'll leave him out there for a half hour and then you hear it. We're just at a time where it's not so early that you're like, fuck, well, the kids will stay asleep because they're still tired. Right. But it's also not late enough to where it's like, oh, the kids have slept in. Or, you know, it's right at the sweet spot. Where it's,
are you actually explaining to me the interruption of your sleep by animals?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Then take notes.
Listen, that's what it is to be me.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The reason why I'm explaining to you is so you have a point of reference.
Sure.
Because other people don't do what you do. You see what I mean?
I understand.
Well, I like to think that what I do is normal, right? And what you do is live in a commune where people and animals are the same.
Yes. I'm an animal farmer.
You're Zootopia is what you are. Shakira's telling you to try everything. You're like, I'm on board.
That's funny. My reference is 60 years old and yours is 60 days old.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. And Daddy doesn't have an AARP card. Just saying.
Right.
So, but we run the gambit. We got a full spectrum situation.
<true.
laughs> So anyway, so now I'm like, all right. So I go back and lay down. Morning comes. We all get up and he's still out there, but he's moved into a different spot. And now his legs are all four up. And then, so I'm kind of like, but you kind of pick up what's going on. You're kind of like, So I Scoobied him. I went and got a treat and said, what will you do for a Scooby snack, essentially?
Right.
And evidently what he said is nothing. He like, that dog has never like turned his nose up at food in his life.
Yeah.
And it is a very weird feeling to show him a treat and have him just look at it and then just kind of look down. But there was no part of him that looked sad, that looked like he was dying, that while you're hanging out with him, or you know what I mean? Like, and up until that night, and even if he hadn't have resisted the treat the next morning, his behavior was not different, really.
Right, right. We did the same thing with my dad, but used a Taco Bell.
Right.
Yeah, we held that burrito.
And then you're like, he's still good. We're good.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, he could see it still.
Right.
And not with his nose. Yeah. He can at least smell
it. He's going to have to go through that drive-thru with a cane now.
In the car, though.
In the car, yeah.
Outside the window.
Yeah.
I would like to see him turn something, though, with a blind cane. That would be a great picture. So we're sitting there, and when I show him the treat, I'm like, okay, the end is near.
Yeah.
I've never had this happen. All of the dogs that I've had, I've had many dogs die.
Yeah.
But either
of embarrassment.
Yes, mostly. They they kind of had gotten out of the yard, like, and went someplace else and maybe died, or just,
oh, really?
As they got close enough in age, maybe they got tired of my dad's bullshit or something and just left. But all the dogs had left before they had died.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's my dad taking them out and just burying them alive, or you know what I mean? Yeah. But anyway, so I'm kind of like, okay, so now I'm the dad, right? Yeah. I'm now the man of the house. There's an animal dying. I have a responsibility. I have an obligation to maintain strength and be a pillar for the rest of my family.
Yeah.
I also have to be the one who comes in and breaks the news. And so I'm kind of hanging out with him all day. And it's very weird for me because I'm sitting here looking at him like, I know it's coming. But there's a part of me that says, well, maybe I should take him to the vet because it's a Saturday.
Yeah,
at this
I was
going to
ask whether weekday or what it was.
Yeah, and I know they have office they're open on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But remember when I first took him to the vet and he looked in much worse state than he was when he was actually dying.
Right.
And I said to the lady, we may have to put him down, and she earmuffed him. For those of you who are new, earmuffed him and said, well, you don't have to do that. So when I bring in this dog that looks normal.
The other thing we did with my dad. Same thing.
Yeah. So I look bringing this dog who looks normal, but I'm going, no, you don't understand. He didn't want a dog treat at 8 a.m. this morning.
Right.
He's fucking dying.
That's a death sentence.
Yeah, exactly. So just inject him. They're like, guy, you can't come in here and just euthanize your dog. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Listen, buddy, we know that you only bought half of the medication, gave him some antibiotics. You never do the checkups. We always send you the postcard for the vaccinations. You never come in here.
Right.
Okay. We know that you're the guy who just wants his dog to die. It's not okay. You have responsibility. Blah, blah, blah.
We just tell him it's okay. I've got a dry cleaning bag in my car.
Exactly.
You know, take care of
Well, that's why to be honest, I was kind of sitting there like, if they were going to push back, it's like, listen, let me put it to you this way. It's either this or a 12 gauge. What do you want this to, how do you want this to go?
Right, right.
But in all seriousness, I'm looking at him and I'm going, he looks very comfortable. He looks very content. I think that if for me to pick him up, put him in the car, it would make him really nervous and scared. And you know how they get at the vet. So I'm just like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to let grandpa just hang out
Plus
in his room.
Plus the poop.
Right. Well, and then this is going to get kind of dark, but... Well, see, this is what's wrong with me. What's wrong with me is I don't have this connection to animals that most people have, which is why there is a payoff for this story.
Okay, good.
Because he goes through the day, and I'm basically going, he didn't look worse, but he was getting up a lot less. There was, I apologize for anybody who's eating lunch while you're eating this. You might want to hit pause and come back to it later. There started to show up like a little bit of blood in his stool, which was very loose.
Yeah.
He hurled once, but not really. He would drink water, but he wouldn't eat any food.
Right.
And so I'm kind of like, oh, man. And then I kind of thought, well, he's comfortable. I don't, like, maybe he's just going to go to sleep at night and hopefully he'll pass away in his sleep. And maybe that's being wildly idealistic, and I hope I didn't. I don't think I did anything wrong to this dog, but maybe I did.
Right.
So this is what I did. I told Natalie, I came in and I said, he's probably not going to make it through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have said many a thing to my wife about my own emotional state and physical well-being.
Sure.
To which I've gotten blank stares, general apathy. You would have thought that I told her we have to choose between one of the children. She literally got upset, but then like really, really got upset to where she was having a hard time breathing.
She made it about her.
Yeah, that bitch. No, it's this thing.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is I'm trying to navigate. I love my wife fuck ton more than I love that dog.
Sure.
But so now how am I supposed to be empathetic towards her when I'm like,
it's a fucking dog.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm not kidding. At one point I did the like awkward, like we were coworkers.
Right.
Like I did the awkward pat. It's okay. Right. There,
not quite
there.
Sure how to put your arm
around like
her.
Where do you touch a person? Like, and I had to resist the urge to chuckle at my own awkwardness. But and then I go, quit being an asshole. And so I hugged her and I go, it's okay. And she's like, I know it's weird to you. I go, no, I get it. I don't
sure.
get it, but I get it. I didn't say that to her.
Right, right.
So I stay out there kind of late, and I stayed up till like 10 or 11 because I thought I thought we were kind of close. Like, and it was funny because every time he moved, you think it's going to be like, you know what I mean? Like, right. Rosebud. And then, you know. Right.
Thinking maybe you get the Sports Center. This could be it, and I can still catch the highlights.
Yes, exactly. So I stay up, and I'm doing a lot of, and then there's just that part of it, because I always hate when you have, people do this with relatives, even relatives of mine, where they don't really have anything to do with them, and then all of a sudden they die, and everybody fucking comes out of the woodwork.
Right, right.
I hate that shit, but I kind of did that with my dog, where it's like, most of his life, I've spent a lot of time going, will you just shut the hell up? But yeah. Now he's dying, I'm like, it's okay, buddy, it's okay.
Right, right.
And I'm like by his side, constantly petting him, and I'll get into that later. So we go through the night, and I'm basically like, okay. And Natalie goes and says goodbye, and it's a very tearful thing, and he's just kind of hanging out there. And so I stay out for a little bit, but now I'm kind of nodding off, so I go, here's what I'm going to do. Because I didn't want it, because he couldn't really control his bowels, right?
Yeah.
And he would get so, you could see it in the poor guy's face when he would, before this, whenever he would accidentally poop in the house, he felt like bad, like, oh, crap.
Yeah, sure.
I never yelled at him, because, you know, he's getting old.
Right.
But I could see that it bothered him, and I think that would make him feel more uncomfortable. It wasn't crazy cold. We live in Southern California. If there was snow outside, it probably would have taken him faster. Yeah. But so I'm like, I made a decision. I'm like, I'm just going to let him hang out here, but this is what's weird about me. I am going to get up every 2 hours and check on him.
Right.
So I did. I woke up anytime I tossed or anything in the middle of the night, I'd wake up, go outside, make sure he was still there, give him a little pet. Touch him, make sure he was moving throughout the night. I put him on his bed so he could be warm. He would not stay on his bed.
Yeah.
So then I had a blanket that I would put over him so at least he could have something kind of to keep him warm while he was on the brick.
Yeah.
And I thought he's not good. Then there was a moment in the middle of the night where I'm like, I'm going to go in there and I got to get up before the kids because my parents were here.
Yeah.
The kids come straight up to the back and I don't want them to see their dead dog out there, which is also going to be funny later.
In a puddle of his own
filth.
Filth, yes.
Yeah. And it was a very, this is going to sound really, I know people are listening and are hopefully going to be able to laugh at this because it sounds really weird, but there was a lot of that. There was a lot for me of like, this is kind of like taking care of an old man.
Oh, seriously.
Where he's just got the runs and I'm telling him, hey, just stay in bed. It's okay. And then I'm cleaning him up.
Yeah, with the towels. Shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I got you. Like trying to be respectful to him, even though he's a dog. Like I'd keep him covered up and hide it so nobody else would see it.
Right. And then you don't want the kids to trip over him.
Exactly.
It's just like,
it's very, very similar to being a human and dying. So anyway, I get up and the dog, my father's awake. And I don't see the dog in his spot.
Oh, no.
And I go, and my dad told me, he goes, if I get up, what do you want me to do? I said, if you get up and he's dead, just come and get me in the house. I go, I just don't want the kids to come out here and see him dead. I'd rather be able to break it to them so that I can answer questions, blah, blah, blah. And
sign some autographs,
you know.
Yeah.
And so I said, and if anything, if, you know, we could get him in the garage is what I wanted.
Sure.
So I go out there, dog's nowhere. And I go, is he in the garage? And my dad says, he's in the planter. And I was like, did you fucking bury the dog? And I look over. For those of you that don't know my backyard, at the back end of the yard, we put a couple gardens.
A few of them that don't know your backyard.
No, there are people who do. Listen. Well, okay. So anyway, we had a couple of gardens, little raised planters. And he dug out one of them after all the plants died. And in the summertime would lay there. Well, now he's in that planter, but not like staying cool because it's closer to wintertime.
Yeah.
It's more like, just throw some dirt on me. I'm almost gone.
Yeah.
Like
what he was doing was digging his own grave several months back.
Right. So I'm like sitting there. I'm like, dude, I don't. And my dad's like, just leave him be. It's where he wants to be, you know, like kind of a thing. And I go, I just don't like it. So I pick him up. I put him on his bed. Now it's Sunday morning. And it's, you could tell
the
that
bed is, the bed is back inside the porchy thing.
No, the bed is, I keep him out here in the back end of the backyard because that's where he kept gravitating towards.
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay.
So I put him on, I pick him up and he's fucking heavy as hell. I pick him up, I put him on his bed, I cover him and now we're back to the, you know, petting and keeping him warm and yada, yada, yada. And then breakfast is ready. So then I kind of made a decision where I'm like, okay, I got to take him to a hospital because I know it's, His state is getting worse, and I don't want it to progress so much that it gets really bad to where it's really uncomfortable for him.
Sure.
And
your kids. I mean,
yes. I don't want. And that was the thing. And so I go. I made a decision. I'm going to go talk to the kids about it. So I went inside and I said, I go, okay, guys, I need to talk to you. This is Easter morning, And I said, here's the thing. I go, Rocky, just shooting straight with you is going to die today. I said, he's gotten old. He's not doing so well. And then they go, what's going to happen? And I said, well, I said, I think what we're going to do is we're going to call a doctor and they're going to come and give him some medicine that's going to make it to where he just kind of goes to sleep but doesn't wake up. Mm-hmm. I said, that way it's super comfortable. I said, I just want to make him comfortable. I think it's the right thing to do for Rocky. Now, I'm nervous Nelly about this. I'm like anxious as all get out. Like, okay, how do I? I'm always kind of like in the back of my mind, I'm kind of worried. Like, maybe not everybody's as insensitive about death as you are, you fuck knuckle.
Right. Particularly about speaking to the kids about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And what if they, and this is what I love about my experiences thus far as being a parent, is I keep forgetting that they're my children and are very likely going to have very similar opinions.
Right.
So when I'm trying to gingerly break it to them that the dog is dying, this is the response I get. They go, okay. And then Jack goes, is he dead now? I said, no, but when the doctor comes, he will be. And he goes, I've never seen a dead dog.
Bucket list.
Yes, exactly. And I go, well, and then I, so then now I'm in this, now he's flipped me. Now I'm on my back with my legs up because I'm like, is it good that he's not emotionally upset, or is it bad that he's dead inside? You know what I mean? That he has.
Right.
And I, because here's the thing, I don't buy that I'm raising my kids to be emotionally empathetic. I don't think that in the slightest. They're both very kind-hearted kids who will come up and tell you they love you and want hugs and cuddles and all that stuff. So I think. Unless you're a dog, you've served your purpose. Go on. Right. Go out. You know, why is he still here? So then Jacob, though, being Jacob. I go back outside and I'm petting him, and I called the doc. I found a vet that will come to the house.
Oh, wow.
And not only provide veterinary care, but it even says on the little Yelp description that he'll help him, you know, so you don't have to take him to a vet. They'll give him an injection. Everything's fine. So I was like, okay. So I called him and left him a voicemail, but I knew it was Easter. I waited about an hour before I was going to call him back. Jacob comes out and he's just petting him, and Rocky's super chill. He's just kind of laying there and breathing. Mm-hmm. And he would have moments where, you know, he would go to the bathroom or whatever, and I'd clean it up and make keep him comfortable. And I'm just sitting there, and I feel like Jacob is. They said I looked around online and it said that you should leave them alone, keep them calm, but you could be there to pet them, but you know, make sure the kids know not to be running around or thinking that they could play with them or grabbing at them.
And you don't have to give them any kind of halftime speech to get them. You know,
To bolster
their spirits.
We're still
in this. Yeah.
You know. Fight it, boy! Don't go into the light.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and then I kind of go, Jacob, you can go inside if you want. It's okay. He's like, no, I want to be here with Rocky. And thank God it worked out the way it did. Because probably about 15 minutes after Jacob decided I'm going to go inside, I stayed there. I was petting him, and all of a sudden he just tensed up.
Yeah.
And then he kind of relaxed. And then he tensed up again and relaxed. And I go, okay. And my dad goes, what's up? I go, he's going. So I just kind of pet him. I kept saying, it's okay, buddy. Mm-hmm. It's all right, man. And then he kind of took his last breath. And then he just kind of, you just went limp.
Yeah.
So I go, then my mom comes out. And this is, it's funny that my parents were here as well.
Yeah.
Because they come out. My parents both worked in hospitals. So they were constantly surrounded by death or dying. And so my mom comes out with a cup of coffee in her hand. She goes, is he dead? I go, yeah, he's gone. She's like, oh, good. Like, but,
yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe people listening to this are like, what are you fucking animals? But to me, it's good. Like, my mom was saying good as in like, oh, no, he went peaceful.
I totally understand. Yeah. I mean, almost like the way farmers.
Yes.
We'll just go, well, that's
my
part
father
of it.
Grew
that's
up on a farm.
Yeah, yeah, it's
that's
part of it.
That's and, yeah. probably part of why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
And he, I cover his face because I thought that's what you do.
With his ears.
And then I put two pennies on each. No, I come
not
back.
Not the dog.
Yeah, no.
Just real
put
pennies.
Two little pennies on top of his eye. So I come inside. Yep, thank you very much. That's my phone. I got to figure out how to turn that off. Anyway, I come inside and I tell Natalie. Natalie comes out to say goodbye. Natalie lifts back the blanket, and then she goes, well, the kid, I go, okay, I'm going to go tell the kid. She goes, well, hold on. Natalie plays Mortician and, like, wants to move his lips, and she's trying to close his eyes.
Oh, my God.
like push them down, but they're not really close. I said, honey, it's going to take forever before that.
Right. After a lifetime of squinting, now his eyes are like he just sat on a tack, you know, they're. Yeah.
And no, well, what it was is she didn't want them to be confused because he didn't look like eyes wide open, like surprised blow up doll.
Right.
He just looked like he was just sitting there staring. Like that's what he looked like. And so she kind of, his lip was in between his teeth or something. So she pulled that out and then everything was good. And so then we go inside and I tell the boy, I said, okay, boys, now this is where it starts to get me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'd maintained complete cool, complete composure without even having to try until I go in and I see my kids. And I, and again, there's a part of me that I thought was because I was worried about them. Mm-hmm. Where I said to them, I go, guys, so you know, Rocky just passed away. So he's gone. Mm-hmm. And I could feel myself like my throat getting tight.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, you know, not quite that much. And they were like, okay. And then Jack goes, I want to see him. And I said, okay. I said, you know, let's get it off the bucket list, boy.
Yeah.
So they come out and they pet him. And it's funny the difference between, and I think it's also a lot of it has to do with age, but it's very funny that Jack was like, oh, wow, he looks just like him, you know? And he goes, and he kind of pats him and everything. But Jacob is very like slow and affectionate. He goes, good boy, Rocky. You're a good boy.
Yeah.
And so then I cover the face. And then there's a, I was going to, this is where, I'm sorry, people who, anybody who likes me that listens to this, get ready.
This could be the end.
I said to, Natalie goes, I said, okay, well, I'll call animal control. And then Natalie goes, animal control? And I said, well, yeah, I don't, who would you call to dispose of a dog? Like, and she goes, "What? You're just going to get rid of him?" And I go, well, we can't, I'm not going to dig a fucking grave in the backyard for him.
I wondered why he was still back there when I came in.
We haven't figured it out.
Okay.
I go, I'm not going to dig a grave for him. Like, what do you, and then I go, they'll come and they'll dispose of him in the way that they're supposed to or whatever. That's what I figured you do.
Right.
She goes, well, what about his ashes? I go, ashes? I go, and it, now mind you, for anybody who's listened to Radiolab podcast as well, they did a whole series on this that buckle up if you have a pet sitting there, skip ahead 30 seconds.
Right, right.
But they did a whole series where basically they would ship a stuffed animal filled with hamburger meat off to a place that's supposed to be a private crematorium, and they would get back, and then they would have it analyzed, and it would be dog ashes with teeth. And like bone fragments in it and everything. So they kind of extrapolated that these places just burn the dogs, collect the ashes, and then they have these big bins. And then based on the weight of the dog, they put that many scoops of this and then some bone fragment, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow. Wow. I thought you were going to say it came back well done.
No.
I was looking for a.
No. It's actually, lunch. It's a fraudulent thing.
Oh.
But because it's an animal, they don't, there's no regulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so.
Nor should there be.
Now I find out that she's like, well, I want something. She's upset again. I go, okay. I go, listen, if it's what you want, that's fine. So I find another place.
And he didn't leave a will.
No.
No.
He did not. It's irresponsible. So anyway, I go, I find a place, and I decide I don't want the dog. We're about to do Easter egg hunts and stuff. Well, and I'm like,
yeah, I was going to, you might have missed a real trick here.
Yeah.
Hiding the eggs around the dog. And yeah, absolutely.
Don't let them bite you. So I decided I'm going to take him to the place.
Sure.
Because they were open.
Right.
And so I pick him up and I put him in the back of the car, and he was way heavier than what I remember picking him up to put him on the bed.
Oh, wow.
And I put him in the back of the car, and my dad, I don't know why, but my dad was like, well, I got it, Dad. And I think it's because I kind of knew that it was bothering me. I swear to God, Adam.
Yeah.
I get in that car. I don't make it past, well, there's a stop sign right next to our house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't make it past to that stop sign blubbering like a crazy person.
Wow.
My grandfather passed away almost 3 years ago, and it didn't hit me that hard. Maybe it's because I wasn't there when it, I don't know, but I'm not kidding. I have not cried that hard.
Yeah.
I'm talking, not like, just sitting there with tears, like
not like a man,
like full blown.
Yeah,
but not like, it's very weird. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm kind of like going, and then I do the, I call the place again to try, and I leave them a message saying I'm just going to bring him there, And then I swear to God, this is where I think it gets really, really funny because I'm on the freeway
it's
now.
It's about time. Yeah.
And I get off the freeway. I'm on the freeway. I get off. You know how sometimes when you, if your phone is connected and when it reconnects to your stereo, it'll play a song just randomly? No joke. I get off the, leaving the voicemail and I'm blubbering. I'm like, man, I have the thought, like, what's wrong with me? And then my phone connects to my radio and this is what plays. Starts all up again. It's a 20-minute drive to the dog crematorium, and Hall & Oates has me blubbering to a point where I could barely see where I am going.
Oh, my God.
I am crying. I don't know how hard I can emphasize that I am blubbering like a baby. Just hardcore. The whole song. The whole rest of the song. Memories are flashing.
Right.
And I'm trying to think in my head, like, why am I losing it?
Yeah.
And it hit me. It's because the dog had a tremendous purpose. And I, not that my grandfather didn't, but I felt like my grandfather,
yes.
My grandfather had kind of served his purpose, if that makes sense. And, but the dog...
Yes.
The dog, when I was gone, made Natalie feel safe.
Sure.
He, as much as it drove me nuts that whenever the mailman would come and he'd, burr, and just go, and you could not get him to stop. I wish he was the dog right. that you go, got it. And then you go, good. You okay, good.
Right.
But no, it was, burr, I got it. Burr, he would start up again. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen?
Right.
If somebody came in this house, you pussy dog, you would piss and shit everywhere. That's right. Your defense mechanism. You're essentially an oversized skunk who hopes that whatever predator that comes in here right. is afraid of dog shit smell. Right. That's all you got, dog. You've never hurt a single person in your life. And I'm having memories of Jacob when he's crawling and he's like pulling. And it was one of the moments that I... really, really, I guess, fell in love with this dog is that he's pulling on Rocky's ears and Rocky would just lick his hands. You never, ever had to worry about him hurting one of those kids. Ever,
right,
ever, ever.
Right.
So I'm just blubbering like an idiot. And you'd think, one would assume that it would end there. But what, for whatever reason, is the next yes. song that plays on
no.
godforsaken random shuffle playlist on my phone?
Smile. Though
I don't know why I have a funeral playlist on my phone. But it, like, because I wasn't thinking about the music, and as soon as this came on again,
oh, wow.
The people driving next to me on the freeway see a grown-ass man in full dad uniform in a t-shirt from Target and cargo, like, can't see the cargo shorts, but I'm wearing a hat, unshaven, and I put sunglasses on, and there's just tears gushing, and it just, I was ugly right. cry face.
Racking
like
sobs.
Oh. Oh, such a bad, ugly cry face.
Wow, that
was
really amazing.
I've never been more shocked by my own behavior, if that makes sense. I was sitting there, and I go, I guess this is it. Like, it's better if I just get it out.
Yes.
And all I could think about is that how crazy would it have been if my father was in that car? Because I think I would have tried to hold it in a little. I don't know, but...
Right.
Oh, I got it all out,
wow.
I thought.
Wow.
Then I get to the place, right?
Yeah.
And now, mind you, they haven't had a chance to answer any of my phone calls or anything. So I drive all the way out there. It's about a 20, 25-minute drive. And I walk in. And
I'm going to need that address.
Oh, okay. It's very soon. So I walk in, and it's a very nice gentleman. And there's an older Latina woman who's just weeping. And he looks at me. And it's, as I'm walking in, I did the thing where, you know how you always see other people do stupid shit? And you're like, did you not see the fucking sign?
Right.
I did that thing where as I was opening the door, it just says like, no.
No animals allowed?
No, it said like no solicitation, no walk-ups or something like that thing. And I was like, that must mean, that's for people selling things. I'm here to be a customer. Who doesn't want a fucking customer to walk in? Well, it's because they're just a small storefront. So I walk in, and there are people essentially having a funeral for their dog or something, I guess. And then I hit the casket with my... No, I'm kidding.
it's spilled over.
I walk in, go, ee! It's like a Mr. Bean episode. So I walk in, and then the guy just looks at me like, what are you doing here? And I said, and he goes, and I see her, I go, I'm sorry. And I did the, I'm sorry, and I tried to back in, goes, can I help you? And I said, I called, I said, my dog just passed away. I just wanted to bring him in. I'm sorry. He goes, no problem. If you just give me a minute. I said, take your time.
Yeah.
And I shut the door, right? Oh, to add to it, There's a little bit of, it's very funny to me because there was a little bit of like stench from all of the pooping.
Yes.
But I found that even more sad because I would occasionally get a waft of it and I was like, Rocky's gone.
From Rocky or from when you were crying?
Both.
Okay.
And so anyway, so I'm sitting in the car and then I kind of, while I'm sitting in the car, I'm kind of thinking, how are they going to do this? Like, that dog was really heavy. I'm going to have to carry him in. I'm like, well, you could do it. You'll figure it out. And I go, oh, I'll turn the car around and back it out. And then I'm kind of sitting there and I'm kind of over the crying. But then I go, oh, how bad is it going to be? Like, what if I'm not being respectful to this dog by just sitting in the driver's seat in my sunglasses? Like, they don't know that I just blubbered like a baby.
Right, right.
And I'm like, wait, he's in the back.
He's
like, right. Just grab him. Thank you. And then I drive. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
so you didn't weekend at Bernie's and take the carpool lane?
Yeah, just walk around with a leash.
Right.
And, so anyway, I decide I'll go in the back and I'm sitting there just kind of waiting. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here. So I pull the blanket back and I'm just kind of petting him. And he did. He was just laying there and he looked just like he always had. So I'm sitting there and I'm pretty cool, but I kind of still feeling sad a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out. And then the people come out and I see them talking and I'm just sitting there. And then this fucking bitch walks over to me.
Yeah.
And says, Is this your boy? And I said, yeah, he is. And she goes, how did he die? Like what? Or she goes, what happened? I said, nothing. He got old. She goes, how old was he? And she starts crying. I start crying now. Me and a 68-year-old Latina woman are crying in a industrial park strip mall type area. Like there's not even a Starbucks to be found anywhere near this area, right? It's just this old like plain office and then an 8-foot-tall black guy who has a very somber voice. And she goes, and he's, what's his name? And I go, Rocky. Oh, good boy, Rocky. He's a beautiful dog. And she goes, he's very beautiful. How old was he? And I'm like, he was 13. She goes, oh, just like Chico. I said, Chico was 13 too? She goes, yeah. And so it's just a very weird thing that I would make fun of.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So then, so they say goodbye. And the guy goes, I'm terribly sorry. She was obviously a like, this is what this guy does.
He had
a cat die, and so he opened this business to help people because they felt like there wasn't really a service for people who genuinely wanted to mourn their animals.
Right, right.
So anyway, so we go inside, and he gets a cart so we could push him in the cart. And he and I lift him up onto the cart, and we push him in. And then he goes, have you decided on packages? And I said, I didn't even look at him. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he just says, this is what was, which I thought was kind of a power move, but I think it was more of me having a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I was very vulnerable, but also I didn't want to seem like, clearly I was crying and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want it to seem like I was completely heartless. Like it's a weird thing to like,
right.
I know I was just losing it, but let's talk dollars and cents. Yeah. I mean, do you have an economy package? I just need like do you have a hefty bag option?
Right.
Yeah. You know? So he says, well, we do a footprint, a box urn, and his ashes for $335. I said, I'll take it. I hope that he was smart enough to start high and work his way low.
That's funny. Because
he sold whatever he was pitching first.
Oh, wow.
So we go through the whole thing, and then I felt horrible because he said,
I'm sorry, what were those three? Was box lunch one of them?
Yes.
Okay.
No, you get a wooden box to keep the ashes in.
Yeah,
the ashes come in a nice velvet bag.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a plastic bag inside that one.
Sure.
And then they do a plaster footprint with his name on it.
Got it.
It looks like something your kid makes at second grade, to be honest.
Sure.
I'm sure much better handwriting. But anyway. So the guy is talking about it. He's like, do you have any other pets? Like he's trying to help me, but you could tell that he kind of wants to get out of there. And I kind of want to tell him, hey, you don't have to be sensitive with me. I'm cool. I blubbered like a baby on the way here.
Yeah.
But there's no real way to organically work that into the conversation.
Sure.
So I said to him, he goes, well, do the package, everything. He's like, he's talking about how his family's still at home at Easter. He's got all the in-laws. His wife is holding it down.
Right.
And he's like, so I got to go. And I go, okay. And I don't know why. Because I knew the guy had to leave, but I had this weird urge. I said, can I just say goodbye one more time?
Yeah.
He was absolutely. He was very kind.
Right.
I don't know why I had the urge. I don't even know why I wanted to be honest. Right. It was very weird.
And you're saying say goodbye to Rocky, not to him twice.
Yes. No.
Okay.
Well, then I go in there.
Say goodbye to me as many times as you want to, sir.
I go in there. They have like kind of a peaceful room where you could tell that they do a service.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walk in there and I just put my hand on him. And I said, "You're good." And I, as soon as I touch him, just like lost it again.
Oh my God.
I'm like, "You're a good boy."
Right.
And he goes, "He was. He was a very good boy. He's a beautiful dog." And in my mind, I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to not do this. And then I'm blubbering again. So I'm like, and I've got my sunglasses on.
He was done selling you.
I know. And so I turn around and he goes, and he's taller than me. So his hands are kind of like at almost eye level, if that makes sense. So
oh my God.
He's reaching, and I thought he was going for a handshake move. And so I stuck my hand. I go, thank you. And then, and he's patting me on the back like a child.
Yeah.
He's giving me my receipt. Like he's so then we do the weird thing where he's like, right, and I'm like, I just want to go, you know?
Yeah.
So then I go and I get in the car and I drive home and I didn't blubber anymore. I was okay. But the only other thing that happened to kind of end this was that I went home and you know, I don't know if you've ever had this, but I'm sure listeners have, where it's like when the kids go away to visit or they stay at a friend's house, especially when they're little, and you have that moment where you're in the house where they normally are most of the time.
Yeah.
But then now it's quiet. So everything is the same, but it's like eerily quiet.
Yeah.
Kids were at school. I came home from work the next day. Silence. Mm. And it was an eerie silence. Mm-hmm. And I had missed Natalie for lunch. She came home later that day and I told her I'd already blubbered. Like I told her the whole story. I didn't want to, you know. I said, she said today when I came home, because he would always go apeshit when she walked in the door. She goes, today when I get home, he goes, she goes, nobody made any noise. And I cried.
Oh, wow.
So why share all that on a podcast about parenting? In my mind, I think it's a little bit of the life. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's crazy hilarious that an asshole like me is blubbering about, honestly, what is quite possibly the most annoying dog I've owned in my entire life.
Yeah.
That's complete honesty, but I love that fucker like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. I have a couple of thoughts and questions. I don't want to step on your rabbit.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Was he the first pet you owned as an adult?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's important.
Yes.
I lost the tail of it a little bit. But I think that's part of it. It's because he predates your children.
Yep.
Clearly. So he was essentially the kid you guys had before there was an actual kid. So there's tremendous bonding that goes on there. Then the way in which your own children bond with him. It makes sense that a normal human would have some emotions about all this.
Here's now, your knife. Seemed to have misplaced it in my gut.
If you tell me that 3 days later he was in the backyard.
What do you mean?
This is an Easter joke.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It's okay. He didn't come back.
He comes back?
Yeah.
That's funny. I thought you were trying to say that three days later I was over it.
No.
And you were going to say, I don't buy it for a minute.
No.
Like, I could feel myself getting a little welled up telling it there, but that's also kind of sad. And that's the other thing that I think is so funny about this whole ashes thing.
Yes.
Is that that was the sad thought I had on the way back, that it's like, this guy's going to come and bring me ashes in a week, which, by the way, he hasn't called.
I was going to ask if you had those yet or
no. I don't have them, which there's a part of me that wants to follow up, but there's a part of me that kind of doesn't, like, to see if, like, he just goes away and takes my money, but I never get my dog back. Because it's going to be 2 weeks on Monday.
Yeah, it seems like a decent amount of time to have.
But Natalie wanted the ashes, and I had an idea where I'd put a little pic. We have a very beautiful picture of him, and this is really goofy, and I'm sorry. But I'm going to put a picture up of Rocky here in the studio.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I thought what was funny is that one day I am going to throw away those ashes. Like,
right.
It is an inevitability.
Yeah.
It is there's going to come a certain time where I'm going to be like, what the fuck do I need this box of dog for?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's weirdly sad but I think maybe Natalie's expectation is that I'm going to bury that box in the backyard, but this box is not a box you bury. Like, it's nice and decorative, but I don't know. But I did have that sad thought where it's like, what's worse, calling animal control when it happens
right,
or tossing him in the dumpster?
Right. On the Or just on some, you know, as you're driving along, you swing over by Ralph's because you know they've got an open one in back and drop it in there.
I think really what I'll do, honestly, is I'll throw the box away, but I'll take the ashes and kind of spread them around the backyard.
Oh, that's cool. Put them in that spot over there.
I'll put a little in the planter. He always liked to roll around the grass. Listen to me. I'm talking about a fucking dog and about what he would have wanted in the after. Oh, my God.
Listen, heads up for next time. If you're going to call animal control, I think what you need to do is carry him into the street and lay him there and then say, listen, there's a dead dog in the street. Because I don't think animal control's job is swinging by and doing that sort of thing.
I think it is.
You do?
Yeah. I think here's the thing. Here's how it would have happened in my mind. That I would have probably had to pay a fee that had I set him on the side of the street, I would not have.
Right.
And I would gladly have paid that fee. It probably would have been a lot more than getting him cremated and getting an urn, I'm sure. But I thought that's what. But if they would have called me and said, "Oh, we don't do that," then I would have said, "Great, hey, Pops, help me bring him out to the sidewalk."
Right, seriously,
no, I wouldn't do that. The people here have kids and stuff. That's jacked up.
I do have a much shorter death of a pet related.
Okay,
that touches on some of these issues that you had when I started dating Luna back at the turn of the 19th century, the 20th century. She had a cat. And then eventually we all moved in together. Mostly I wanted to be with the cat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I lived with this cat for a long time. And I think really it was the first pet that I had as an adult, even though it was sort of a step cat, if such a thing is possible.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So
how can I laugh at that when I blubbered like a baby?
I don't know. So he had this, I don't even know what to call it, condition. I don't know what it was, mental, whatever, where he would chase his tail. And when he caught it, he would teach it a lesson it would not forget. He would shred it to the cartilage. He would absolutely destroy his own tail.
Are you kidding?
This went on for years. And it wouldn't happen constantly. It would happen intermittently. The first time it happened, this is before I was even with her, the vet said, oh, just cut this tail off. And that's the way to go with this cat. She was like, that's inhumane. And how can you suggest
inhumane rather than letting him destroy it himself?
Well, she didn't know it was going to go on for the next 15 years. I mean, he was 16, 17 years old when he passed.
Yeah.
So
she thought it would be a kitten thing and he'd grow out of it.
Yeah, that he'd grow out of it. And I used to joke, oh, it's a lucky thing he wasn't scratching his ears or scratching his head because then the doctor would have that off too. Or instead, so this is a solid joke. So anyway, I wasn't laughing so much after, by the end, we had spent thousands of dollars on vet bills sort of restoring him. And we learned that when he was recovering and he had the cone of shame on, he would never bother his tail. So for several years in there, he just wore the cone of shame 24/7.
Oh, my God.
Because it was cheaper than anything else. In any case, much as in the case of Rocky, it gets to a point where you're like, this cat doesn't have much longer. And so I went, all right, I gotta do the right thing. Now, she's working and so on and so forth. So I'm the guy who's got to kill her cat. And I call around all the places nearby, and apparently there had been an overturned truck or whatever, but nobody had the serum, the medicine, the fluid, the medicine that you would do to put down an animal. So I had to go to damn near San Diego. I mean, it was a good hour and a half drive from here.
Damn.
With a cat in the car the whole time that was going.
Eating its tail.
You know, just screeching, and I go, oh, it's okay, we'll be there soon. You know, just a stream.
Won't have to worry about this for much longer there, bub.
A stream of meaningless aphorisms from me as we get there. And I'm doing the whole time down there, I'm doing this thing in my head where I'm going to have to go, well, here's the cat, and here's the situation, and do this whole explanation about why it's necessary, and just filled with guilt and shame about the fact that I have to do it. And my park, and I take him out, and I walk inside, and she goes, can I help you? And I said, well, I'm here to put my cat down. And she said, how old is he? I said, he's 16. She said, oh, okay. And she took the thing and went in the back. And there was no explanation needed. I just had to say how old he was. And she's like, oh, he's done. So I'm like, damn, I could have been here two years ago.
There's a popper on his hip that says it sticks out.
Ding. So I signed a little something or whatever it was, and I got back in my car.
Oh, my gosh.
But
that's hilarious.
I didn't think to call animal control. I really wish that would have saved me a lot of
Weirdly enough, I think if it was a cat, I just would have killed it. My own bare hands.
Right.
All right, let's do some moment of the week. You made them.
You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, my friend, hit me.
I will. Before I launch into that, I'm going to say that on the computer that I couldn't get, my laptop that I couldn't get the interwebs on, I had a little thing I was going to do as content for the actual show itself, not for the closing, which was to rebuttal a listener comment, which I feel requires rebuttaling.
Can we do that next time?
Is
that
I will do it next time because okay. I can't. I don't have his name.
Okay.
I have seared into my heart his comments about my participation on the show. But so I want to rebut that next time. But I didn't want to spend the entire time while you were telling the story of your dead dog trying to find it all on my cell phone.
So would have been very funny.
And I was crying.
It doesn't do the same thing when you. I have a cover, but you can't hear the keyboard.
Yeah. Right.
There it goes.
You just need that sound effect somewhere. All right. So here's the deal. I think I've probably mentioned at most in passing that Diego was applying for colleges and then waiting to hear back and all of that stuff. Did I talk about that at all?
No, but I saw this on Facebook. It was very exciting.
Okay, yes, very good. So in any case, excuse me a second.
Please don't die.
The soda was getting to me there.
Okay.
I was like, I could try to push through here, but it could get ugly. So he was in the waiting stage for a long time. He applied to about 8 or 9 places. And he felt a little funny about that because you have to pay for each application. But I was like, dude, just throw the net as wide as you can. We don't want to come back later and go, oh, fuck, we should have done more.
Well, that's also a weird kind of thing. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
But you also don't want it to come across as like, listen, anything that'll stick at this point.
Not at all. Not at all. He's my honor student. I had high hopes.
I know that.
Exactly. I know how it's coming off. No, the way I was selling it to him is, better that, you know, you should have all of
no
these
regrets.
Choices. Yeah, but all of these choices. Let's say everybody says yes, and you could have done a couple extra, whatever. It would have been fine. So,
see, the way I see it, too, what's great is that you're opening yourself up for more no's, which are going to make them stronger.
Yeah, that's true. Well, as it turns out, there were quite a few no's.
Remember that time I ruined the moment of the week? That was good, Justin.
So he got his safety school, which was UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Where that ex-girlfriend is. And so I thought, well, all right. So that could be, because we weren't too excited about that particular place. Although I have since learned that it's not as completely without merit, school,
it's a good
as
school.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, UC Santa Barbara, I hear, is where it's all going on down there now, the partying. But he didn't come out and tell us rejection by rejection where he wasn't getting in. So and it makes me feel bad because for probably 10 days or 2 weeks, you know, every other day he'd get an email that said, no, sir, from Yale, no, sir, from Harvard, whatever it was. He reached for the moon. So anyway, he pulled us into the kitchen at one point, and he said, well, I did hear back. I got, you know, it all came down to one last thing. He said, I got rejected by everybody else. Came down to one last thing, and I've been accepted to NYU. And we went, oh, that's terrific. That's great. Now, I went to NYU, and we're both from back east, so we have a fondness for...
Is that how he got in?
New York. Oh, no. If they'd realized there was a connection between the two of us, I think it might have hurt his chances. As I am a film school dropout is what I am. So,
film school dropout.
Yes. What my thing is, half the education, all the bitterness.
Boom.
Yeah. So in any case, he got in there, and then he had the extra piece of it was that he had checked a box during the application, something, you know, a window had popped up, said, based on your answers to this point, this is a program, this is a subset of the program that you could be involved in. Would you be interested in studying at any of the following locations, so on and so forth? And he picked one of them. So Diego will be doing his freshman year at NYU on the Florence campus in Italy.
Sorry, what?
Diego is going to Italy.
I think I heard you.
Yeah. And I just, one of the things I thought was, oh my God, he's never, I thought Justin is never going to give me any peace. He's going to take that young, weirgin body over to Italy where there's a lot of plump, plush lovelies. He's going to tear that place up.
You think?
How?
What? How are you okay with this?
Well,
here's
how should I not be? Tell me what
I'll tell
I'm doing
you first
wrong.
Why
tell
you're
me what I'm doing yeah. wrong.
Well, you're not doing anything wrong. But if he was my son, if this is Jacob we're talking about,
right.
I'm going to say, listen, son, you're 19 years old. You don't go to Italy when you're 19 years old for your freshman year of college. You have your 20s have to suck to make it easier for your 30s to be better.
Right.
If this child's life peaks his freshman year at college, that's a horrible. Well, he's already going to be over the hill at 20.
But to me, I look at it this way: is that after that freshman year in Florence, he gets to spend his sophomore year in the greatest city on earth, New York.
Yeah.
So
smell of piss. Great. No, this is a great plan they have. God forbid you let somebody work their entire collegiate career for some kind of achievement at the end. No, let's give him that carrot right out of the box.
Well, look, as far as I'm concerned, he has been chasing a carrot for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
At school. And
chase
so,
it four more years.
Oh, God. Listen, I have no problem with this. You can't murder my,
I'm
my
not
moment of the week.
It. I'm teasing.
No, it's okay. So for me, there was a couple of things. One is I'm just touched that he's at NYU. I don't know why it means anything to me. I was a terrible
it's
student.
It's a big deal school still.
No, I understand. But I mean, more than if he had gotten in, I don't know.
Harvard.
How
is what
I
would have
felt if he had gotten in
because
at Cornell.
Because you've been there.
Instead of fucking up the application and they rejected him out of hand before it ever got anywhere. So it touches me that it's NYU. And then just that he's got this, whether it happened as a freshman or a sophomore or whatever it is, just sort of this start on his life. I'm really moved and proud of him and feel terrific. So I keep hugging him. Yeah, I give him that awkward hug that you do, but with your wife when she's crying. I'm like, yeah, good job, boy. Yeah.
Squeeze the shit out of him.
I do. I hug him. I shake his hand. I keep going, congratulations. And he's very excited. And
of course he's excited. He's going to fucking Italy, especially here at college.
Luna has not stopped throwing up. She is in a state about it, but I'm
Why?
Sure she'll feel better. Well, it just horrifies her to think that he'll be at that distance. I think she's maybe more in the, I mean, she does have the, oh, this is a great thing to it, but I think maybe she falls into that camp with you, which is like, this is too much.
There's- well, no, I don't think it's too much. I think it's, here's what I do think. I think it could be, here's the thing. Let me first say this, because I'm saying a lot out of humor, and now I'm going to be completely sincere.
Okay.
Your kid is a great kid. Both of your kids, awesome kids. I'm a huge fan of both of your kids. I think they're great.
Yeah.
But I would be lying if I didn't say that it's like, it does, there's a little bit of truth in my joke of saying he's going to go to Florence, Italy. Like, he's been in a shitty suburban high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Traveling long distances to tap a girlfriend here and there in college or wait for his parents to skip town. Yeah, they did.
you fucker!
Don't pretend like they didn't. Trust me. That car was in the driveway so many times when you were gone.
I meant on that visit.
Huh?
I meant on that visit.
No, they did.
Okay.
You paid you in a sense you funded a trip for your son to get a little steak on his pink and
oh my God
so for him to do that and then go to Italy and then to come back to New York, it's to me it's like everybody has these ambitions. It's like my friend was just talking about it when we went to a kid's birthday party. Like, he had the bouncy house, he had the bubbleologist, and he goes, and I said, you know, it's funny. I go, isn't it weird how different birthday parties are for our kids than they were us? He goes, and he looked at me so sincerely and so exhausted from putting, he's the dad, so he's got to build and hang the fucking piñata and all this shit.
Yeah.
And he's just writing checks all day. And he looks at me so sincere. He goes, we were happy to have cake. It's so true.
Yes, yes.
I told my dad on my, I think it was like my 11th or 12th birthday, I wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese with my friends. He said, you could have cake.
Right.
So you know, you come from that standpoint. It's like, where do you, because he said, where do I go from here? If this is what it's like at 7.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you're in fucking Italy for a year, not to mention, it's, unless I'm wrong, this is an all-expense-paid trip to Italy.
Well, for him, it's all-expense-paid.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Who do you think I'm fucking talking about? Well, he doesn't have to worry about anything. How, and so that coupled with the fact that I wired to naturally believe that if you're not paying for it, you don't get to enjoy it as much. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, he'll enjoy it, but there's a certain amount of effort that I think could be missing. That's the part that I probably don't know about your kid.
Right.
But I think he's going to have an awesome time and everything's going to be fantastic because, well, he's a good kid.
By your logic, if you don't pay for it yourself, then you can't enjoy it. I shouldn't have enjoyed any of my marriage because I haven't paid for any of it.
Have you?
Well, she's the breadwinner.
Yeah, but have you enjoyed it?
Oh, yes. I just haven't paid for it. Well, I see what you're saying. Look, we may have to revisit that.
That's what everybody says when they're wrong.
All right, everybody, I'm going to reclaim.
We may have to revisit that when I have some more time to think about how you're wrong and I'm right. But right now, I can't argue with your logic.
Fair enough. No, I was just looking at the, you know, coldly at the actual, at my marriage and going, well, you know what?
Exactly.
At the moment, I don't think I can really make this claim.
That's why you got to work at it. Yeah. You got to work at it, okay, and then you enjoy it.
I am going to reclaim my own fucking moment of the week from you and by saying the following thing.
Yes.
That I like to imagine that he's going to go to Italy and that that will be the zenith of his life.
No,
I like
shouldn't.
To think no. that he will go to Italy and go, there is so much more possible than I ever realized. I want more. And then he'll get it.
He will.
Yeah.
I believe so. I think for me, I'm not saying in his life.
Yes.
I'm saying the transition, like, it's a fucked up system because who wouldn't want to go to Italy their freshman year in college?
Right.
But then to come back to New York, you know, which I'm sure is a great city.
Well, yeah. But no, coming
it's
back
not
to
fucking for it's Italy.
Coming back to Van Nuys or
New
Brunswick.
Does he even speak Italian?
No, he's going to have to, one of the classes will be Italian.
He's going to take Italian in Italy.
Yes, he is.
When he's only going to be there for 9 months.
He's going to start beforehand, I think. He's going to start in the summer in Berlitzit or whatever a little bit.
Berlitzit, that's German.
Well, there's a Rosetta Stone, whatever. Whatever language course you want to talk about. Also, his his grandfather, Juan, oddly enough, is not
fluent
Italian, but he's, he can converse in Italian. I wouldn't necessarily call it fluent. He knows to say, where are the whores?
Can he do turn signals?
He just can't drive there.
Well, maybe he could.
So I think there'll be some
great.
Effort.
I'm sorry
effort
that
there.
I teased.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. No, if anything, I thought, see, it's funny to me that you went, you know, that trip to Santa Cruz to see his ex-girlfriend, whose fictional name I've forgotten, was a fully funded trip to get stink on his pink.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, this is that times 10. Because I can't imagine, first of all, it's fully funded as far as he's concerned. And I can't imagine he
won't
get
what's great is
laid all over the place
a lot of
as
people
an American
might be,
student.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, how could, you know, academic, you know, young American kid be more attractive than full-blown Italian bravado dude, you know? Yeah. But it's because it's different.
Yes.
You bring that Italian boy over here, he could be a loser.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, slinging so much tail.
Yeah, exactly.
But you send him over there, and he's something different.
So I'm expecting there'll be a knock on the door in about 6 or 7 years. There'll be a little...
A little Italian Dooley.
Little Diego Dooley Jr. or whatever he's going to be. At least one. So we have that to look forward to.
Well, maybe that'll be the zenith you're talking about.
Exactly.
When he finds his bastard child shows up in his American doorstep.
Exactly.
What do you do when he says, I don't want to go back to New York?
Have fun paying for the rest of your life. If I'm using the logic that he will have earned no skills and not really know how to, he probably won't even be able to speak Italian well enough to hold down a job at the.
I've been eating cheese pizza for 9 months straight.
Right.
I can't figure out how to say fucking pepperoni.
No, I think he will want to go to New York. I think he will.
Yeah.
Be hungry for it.
That's awesome.
And that's that. So
here's the thing.
Yes.
You know what I like about this, and what I want you to tell your child
as
anytime he looks at you in an unloving way.
Yes.
I want you to look at him and say that Justin has told me to tell you this in very said moment. Those two children across the way
Yes.
will never see the opportunity that you have seen
right.
in your lifetime. Yes. Ever. Ever. Because if they came to me and said, Dad, I got accepted to NYU and I'm going to go to Italy for the first year, I'm like, fuck, you should have been working for like 8 years.
Right.
Because that
right.
sounds expensive.
Yes, yeah. Right.
I don't think the dollar is strong in Italy, buddy. You are fucked.
I will let him know that. And that's the final wrap up before I pass the torch fully back to you.
Yeah.
Is that Luna wanted me to send regards to her legions of fans. I don't know why.
Legions? Yeah, well, it seems aggressive and hyperbolic. But
it could be. Hyperbolic. I think there's a different word there. But in any case.
Exaggerating.
Like, okay.
Is it?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Listen, you don't know what a ramekin is. That means you cannot tell me what words I can and can't say anymore.
That's true. You're free to use any words wrongly that you wish to.
Well said. Well
Thank
said.
You.
You got that in that first year at NYU? Is that where that came from?
Yeah, just before I dropped out.
All right. Here's my quick moment of the week. It is much quicker than yours and less awesome in that. but it was. Oh, where's my phone? This was a conversation that Natalie had that panicked us both with our four-year-old. He was finishing up brushing his teeth, and then she goes in there to see him. And then he says to her, Mom, how did you and Dad make me? Mm. To which she goes, Mama, how did, this is how he said, Mama, how did Dad build us? Natalie says, what? How were we made? And then Natalie says, a little bit of me and a little bit of your dad. He fills in the holes by saying, and then you ate that and we popped out.
Oh, my God.
A lot there for you to enjoy.
Yes, seriously. Oh, my God.
Very adorable. And then she comes and tells me the story in front of the seven-year-old, who is much older and probably more curious about said things.
Uh-oh.
And then he kind of goes, he goes, wow, that's how it happens?
Right.
And I decided to let it lie for now.
Yeah, sure.
Because I would much rather him think it happens over a meal at this right. point in his life. But I will gladly tell him about the ways of fornicating.
Although he'll be worried that he's going to get his mother pregnant.
Just by
every night at dinner.
No, I don't want anything off your plate.
Right.
all right, that was our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Also, don't forget to join the fan page or group, I should say, is a better way of describing it. Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. If you want to find like-minded parents who have similar senses of humor and opinions about parenting, that is a great place for you to go. If you want more podcasts to listen to and you're like, you know what I need more of? More Paco in my life. But I don't like it when I call him Paco. I want him to be called Adam Dooley by his God-given surname.
Doctor.
That's Dr. Adam Dooley. Then check out Hollywood RX, where they talk about movies. You're going to be talking about what movie did you see?
Here's the thing. We just started season two.
Season two?
We're in season two. We decided to do seasons. So here we are. Season two, episode one, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Some of you might have heard it. Some of you might have seen it.
With John Goodman.
Can
I ask, is that like a sequel to the Cloverfield movie?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that, because it purportedly takes place in the same universe.
Right.
But it is not directly related to the events of the first movie. It takes place presumably based on the technology, like a cell phone and stuff like that. And according to an interview I heard with Dan Trachtenberg, the director.
Incomparable
Dan Trachtenberg. It appears to be taking place 9-10 years later, something like that, almost in real time since then. But the characters in it don't have a lot of awareness of the previous event. So it's not clear whether it's some sort of Twilight Zone-y thing where we can just tell stories that are independently related from one another but have some sort of alien element to the story. But this is much less about an alien invasion and much more about people hiding in a bunker from a possible alien invasion.
And John
Goodman
is in it, so why not?
John Goodman, and he is creepy.
So if you're on the fence about Redbox in it, check out Hollywood RX.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's that. On behalf of Paco Lancini, this is Joshua Worship, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. Sorry for that. This is Joshua Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends. Oh, wait, I got to do this because somebody said it in the chat room.
Mara, what?
Okay, bye.